This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week? We're remote again, unexpectedly.
We're remote unexpectedly. Hey, for good reason, for great reason, for a terrible reason. I was infected with the COVID-19 virus.
Oh, no.
It sucks. Tom, nobody tells you that it sucks to get COVID.
It does suck. You know what I thought after I had COVID for like a couple of days? I thought this coronavirus isn't so novel anymore. I'm kind of getting tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, for the first day or so, I was like, this is something new.
This is pretty novel. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But after those first couple of days, it's like, enough already.
Enough. I get it. Something's trying to kill me from within.
Are you foolish like me when you were like, I'll just be one of those guys that gets no symptoms?
Not really, because the way I knew I had it was from symptoms.
Yeah. No, I mean, same here. But I always assumed it was coming
for
me. Oh,
before you got it.
Yeah, and be like, oh, I'm going to be one of those guys and it's going to stink because it's going to be like, well, I have to stay home even though I've just had a runny nose for 5 minutes one day.
Yeah, and and otherwise I'd be fit as a fiddle, could run a marathon today.
Yeah, and I don't know why I think that, like, I'm not generally sickly person.
Right, when you're notoriously a very sickly man.
I'm just hobbling around, going, oh.
Yeah, very, very pale, very frail.
And frail, that's what they call me.
You're notorious for having fainting spells.
Yeah, I mean, that's more my disposition of just, I'm very easily offended.
Yeah,
my word. That's not a physical thing. That's an emotional thing.
And you like the smell of smelling salts, and it's a good excuse to get a couple of whiffs in.
Man, I got the hunger for that smell, and I crave it. I crave it all day, every day.
You ever smell smelling salts?
No, what is it? Is it like a fart spray or stink bombs or something?
It's just like very, very strong smell. I think I've only I smelled it once from a distance, maybe.
Yeah, you don't want to get too close, because if you're not knocked out, then it puts you into a state of hyper awareness.
Right? Yeah. Then they need to give you a shot to calm you down or something.
Yeah, you start seeing too much. The fabric of the world starts slipping away.
Growing up, I thought, based on like TV shows, like a lot more people carried smelling salts around than is actually the case in the real world, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just baseball umpires and just the home plate umpire at that.
Right. It's too dangerous for all the umpires to have it.
Yeah, especially that lot.
Yeah.
They're who knows what they'd do with that.
Yeah. With the hot foots and all that, you know, baseball's notorious for pranks.
Hot foots, the hidden ball trick.
Yeah. I think it's funny that baseball's like notorious for like dugout pranks because it's boring. That like you have to understand, of course, the players get bored during the game and have to find other ways to entertain themselves.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, like, people are like, oh, baseball is America's pastime, but it's so boring, that's why nobody does it anymore. I think that just shows how life has changed, where, like, the official country sport was just like, yeah, we sit around and we're bored most of the time. I think that was, like, life for a while.
Yeah.
where it's just like you just sit around and you're bored once in a while, like most of the time.
Right.
And that's cool. And I kind of wish that was the case.
Well, yeah, like, you know, baseball, yeah, it's kind of boring, but compared to the rest of life, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, not
marginally
anymore.
More exciting. Yeah. Now life is... Tom, I've been in a basement quarantined for... Uh-huh. This is day 9, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe day 8.
Do you know... Have they blacked out the windows? Are you aware of the passage of time?
It's wild, Tom. It's felt like I've been... I felt like I've been down here for years of my life.
Uh-huh.
And simultaneously, it feels like I came down here for the first time 20 minutes ago. I have no concept of what's going on.
Well, hopefully...
Thank God for the internet.
Hopefully there's some, like, old mannequins down there that you've been able to dress up and make into a new family or...
Yeah, I got a whole new life down here, Tom.
Yeah, I don't mean to brag, but it's pretty sweet down here.
I got two ladies vying for my attention.
ladies, there's enough to go around. Relax. They're both wearing like dresses from the 1930s.
Tom, if it wasn't for streaming services,
mm-hmm.
I think I would have lost my mind. Because what am I going to do, like read books for a week?
Yeah, come on. Were you a professor?
I'm not a professor. Some sort of basement professor.
Hey, you could have been working on your manifesto this whole time.
Oh, it's all up here, Tom. I got it.
it's all going to come out one day in a long stream of consciousness.
Probably on this show.
Yeah, I guess you do have the perfect outlet for it.
Yeah, give me another week, Tom, and it'll all come spilling out.
I won't be able to get a word in edgewise.
Tom, you watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That really runs the gamut. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. But at some point, when you watch a lot of YouTube, you're just like, well, this 28-minute video is pretty bad, but I'll stick it through. What else am I going to do?
Yeah, I realized the other day, because I was like, I didn't ask you, but I was like, I don't know like how sick Tim is exactly. I don't know if he's working or not. And we were talking about Elon Musk, and I sent you a link. I was like, this is like a good documentary about, like, you know, the truth about him.
What a great man he is, and... He's going to solve all humanity's problems. He's the real-life Iron Man. I know, Tom.
But it was like a 45-minute documentary, and I sent it to you. It's like, yeah, for you to watch sometime. And then, like, I don't hear from you for 45 minutes, and then I get a message back like, that was good. It's like, hey, I didn't watch that whole thing. It's too long.
Yeah. Nah, I watched it. I'll watch anything. I watched this whole video by some guy who's like a video essay. This guy fancies himself a video essayist. And it was all about how on sitcoms, laugh tracks are bad.
Yeah. All right.
And the whole thing was like, it's insulting. They're telling you when to laugh. And I was like, yeah, you know, people have been saying that since, you know, before I was born.
Yeah.
But yeah, you put that on the internet. And then he was like, also, it's the flow of conversation. It's not like me and my friends, we don't talk this way.
Uh-huh.
And like that was his premise. And he just said that different ways for like 33 minutes.
He was like, also, like plays and musicals. When I'm talking to my friends, we don't all just face a wall.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, yeah, sitcom. And like I became very fiercely... defensive of the sitcoms.
And why are these people enunciating and projecting their voices so much?
Yeah, it's make believe.
Yeah,
we're watching a make believe thing. It's fine. If everything sounded like we all talk to our friends, this world would be dumb.
Yeah, it would sound like this podcast. Everybody'd hate it.
Yeah. Wouldn't be as smart as an episode of Who's the Boss.
Exactly. That's the kind of what we aspire to one day.
Some Tony and Angela level of banter.
Yeah. And what's so wrong about being told when to laugh? Sometimes it's nice to just have somebody else be in charge.
Yeah, at least guiding you to the
handling
laugh.
Handling all the thinking for you.
Yeah. I got news for you. When Mona says one of her dirty things, I don't need the laugh track to tell me I should be laughing. I'm laughing already. That's a reflex.
Yeah.
Old lady saying dirty things.
It never gets old.
Never gets old.
Unlike the ladies.
Yeah. Well, you know. But what Mona showed us is that you can always put a fresh face on an old face.
Tim, I was reading, speaking of Elon Musk, I guess kind of, was reading this news story earlier about a man named Grimes. Did you know there are men named Grimes now, too?
Oh, well, what a world. Hey, that's PC culture run amok, I guess.
Well, it's his last name, but it's this guy, he fell off a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And they saved
him. I don't mean
him.
To laugh, but hey, stay on the cruise ship. What was he trying to? I bet he's pulling some Leo and Titanic stuff, right?
Well, here, let me read a little of this to you. This is from the New York Post.
I like this wacky news segment that we're putting at the top of that. We should do this every week. Make a note.
An Alabama man fell off a Carnival cruise ship. And miraculously,
Alabama man named Grimes
survived nearly 20 hours treading water, and says he fought off what he feared was a shark and ate floating bamboo as he tried to stay alive.
Wow!
But listen to this part: James Michael Grimes told ABC News on Friday that he has no idea how he fell off the Carnival Valor ship and plunged into the shark-infested waters of the Gulf of Mexico the night of November 23rd. The 28-year-old couldn't recall how many drinks he had had in the lead-up, but denied being drunk, insisting the last thing he remembered was winning an air guitar contest in one of the ship lounges.
Yeah, no, totally stone-cold sober.
I don't remember how much I had to drink, but I assure you I was not drunk.
I couldn't have been drunk. I was sober enough to win an air guitar contest.
Yeah, the type of contest where I guess like really the thing you need to win the most is to just have like no self-awareness, no self-consciousness. Yeah. You know, just really go for it.
Complete lack of shame. Yeah.
The next thing I know, I regained consciousness. I was in the water with no boat in sight.
Jeez, that would be terrifying, though.
Yeah.
Hey, we salute you, Jimmy Grimes.
Oh, and also, like, nobody realized he was missing for 12 hours.
Was Jimmy Grimes on this cruise alone?
No, he was with 18 family members.
Well, no, you know, there's a tipping point. We learned this from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah,
at
where
some
it's
point,
too many.
You know, if you have your immediate family, four or five people... Yeah, once missing, you're going to notice. But,
yeah.
Like, it gets to a point where it's like, you know, one falls overboard, one gets left in the attic.
You think maybe there was some other cruise ship passenger who was wearing a similar hat to him when they were doing
sure.
the count?
I'm sure there were a lot of cruise ship passengers dressed like Jimmy Grimes.
Also, I find it really funny that he found floating bamboo and was eating that. Where it's like, buddy, dying of starvation is the last thing you got to worry about here.
Oh, when you're treading water for 20 hours.
I guess he could have done the back float.
Yeah.
For a little bit. And it's also funny because, like, the Coast Guard... you know, they, I guess like they don't want to shit talk somebody that almost died,
right?
But they like put out a statement where it's basically like, look, people don't just fall off these boats. All right. They said cruise ships have safety barriers in all public areas that are regulated by U.S. Coast Guard standards that prevent a guest from falling over. Guests should never climb up on the rails. The only way to go overboard is to purposely climb up and over the safety barriers. So they're like, look, we're not going to comment on how this happened to this young man, but we are going to say this. That basically, we don't believe him.
Yeah, it's an epic clapback from the Coast Guard, Tom.
You know, Tim, I never get tired when the Coast Guard claps back on drowning victims.
Hey,
Now, Tim, this week we're doing, this is actually a repeat episode.
Oh, I hate reruns. I hate them almost as much as I hate laugh tracks.
Well, we've moved around all the laugh tracks. They're in different places this time. But we
is
did
there
the,
a
we...
podcast with a consistent laugh track.
Oh, I don't know.
Like when they put a laugh track on Scooby-Doo for some reason.
Yeah, why did Scooby-Doo have, and the Flintstones too? It's like,
it made me feel, it made me feel like a grown-up watching them, actually. I liked it.
But it was like, what am I supposed to believe here? That they're drawing this in front of people, or that they brought in a bunch of people to just watch this on TV like I am?
I just thought they were filming real life. Right. I didn't pick up on the fact that the cartoons were drawing.
Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit style? That there was
exactly.
a Toontown somewhere?
And why not?
Yeah, that's a great sounding cough you got there. It sounds like you're almost
Thank
over
you.
It.
Yeah, everything's going great. I, for the listener, I took the microphone away from my mouth, so you might not have heard it as intensely as Tom did.
We did this episode in 2011, Tim. Or no.
Right.
Yes, 2011.
Yeah, well, you're saying it like we're about to throw to a rerun, which we're not.
Yeah.
We talked about this topic in 2011.
Well, I'm saying we're going to throw to a rerun, but we're probably going to say mostly the same things.
Tom, we haven't gained smarter things to say in the last 11 years.
No, if anything, we've run through all the smart things we have to say.
Yeah, I actually think I've gotten dumber in the last decade.
I can confirm that. You do seem like you're getting dumber every day.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for confirming. Look, I said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can't
for
be mad at me.
You're not arguing with me. Yeah, exactly.
I think maybe the one thing that's changed since then is I presume, Tim, you've learned that Santa Claus is not real.
Ah, oh, Jesus, Tom. Do we need to put a disclaimer up top?
I don't look. Don't listen to this around your kids. It's got that parental warning on it, right?
I know, but usually that's just because you say the F-bomb a few times.
Yeah. Well,
you get all old Tommy gets all whiskey drunk and starts throwing around F-bombs.
Well, we're recording this during the day, so I'm just enjoying a Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Ooh.
But I think
is it in a holiday themed can?
It is in a holiday themed can. It's great.
Nice. Yeah.
The Coca-Cola always tastes better in holiday themed cans and bottles.
I agree. Maybe I'll get a Coca-Cola during the break, Tom. Hey,
you're
Tom,
not allowed
basement?
Out of that basement.
Tom, there's a fridge down here.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've been saving up. There's one Coca-Cola in the fridge, so I think I might break it out at the break.
I had to go buy a Coca-Cola the other day for two reasons. One was the night before. I had watched a FIFA documentary. There's like a FIFA documentary on Netflix. It's too long and boring, in my opinion, to watch the whole thing.
Is it one of those like this should have been a documentary, but instead it's a 6-part docuseries?
Yeah, kind of. Like with this, it's like I kind of get that they needed to make it longer because there's so much and it's so complicated. But at the same time, it's boring.
Yeah.
So I would have.
Who wants to watch boring things?
Yeah, I would have appreciated like just kind of whittling it down. Well, and honestly, that's the kind of thing where I bet I could just search on YouTube and there's like a 20-minute thing somebody made that succinctly explains everything going on with FIFA.
Yeah.
But anyway, they talk in the documentary how like the first big sponsor that FIFA got was Coca-Cola, and basically that kind of
great
like,
organizations coming that, together
that like kind of set up their thirst for corruption.
That's fair. They learned it from Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I think it was like, you know, they signed the deal, they shook hands, and Coca-Cola was like, by the way, if you guys want to be, you know, just like a very evil, corrupt company, we can offer some pointers. That comes with any sponsorship we offer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's it's a nice little kicker there.
So I had listened to that, and then reading the Forrest Gump book for Books of the Podcast, he talks about getting a Coca-Cola this one time. It's like, damn, that does sound pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, you're breaking your rule. You're supposed to have no soda in the house.
I know. I'm breaking my own rule, Tim. Hey, if FIFA FIFA can break the rules that they came up with, so can I.
Yeah.
And if Coca-Cola can help both of us.
You're always comparing yourself to FIFA and using FIFA's corruption to justify your, you know, irresponsible behavior.
I like to let large international sporting agencies or organizations kind of dictate my morals.
I can't think of a more sound strategy, Tom. Tom, let's get back to Santa Claus. So,
you said that like we've got him on the other line.
I wish, Tom. Tom, I don't care what anyone says. Santa's a good guy.
Who says he's not a good guy?
There's the some Grinch? Rumblings out there. The Grinch is doing everything he can to tarnish Santa Claus's good name.
I forgot. I shouldn't have even brought up the Grinch because you get mad because like the Grinch got redeemed by the end of the movie, right?
No, I'm not.
And you don't like when the Grinch, you know, is still out there being mean.
No. I'm just confused about what we think about the Grinch now.
If we're supposed to have forgiven him or not.
Yeah.
And if he's
and then,
back
like, every
to his old
year
ways.
We're supposed to be mad at him again. And then like then we get to watch his redemption story and then be like, okay, now the Grinch is a good guy in my book.
Yeah.
How many times is that gonna play out?
Right. But before, you know, we're the fools to keep forgiving this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's not doing it every. I guess it just happened one
is the
time.
Is the Grinch a guy? Is he a man?
I think the Grinch is a Grinch.
Yeah. Are there other Grinches then, or is he like the last of his kind? Because that makes it even sadder.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to watch the Jim Carrey movie from 2000. I think that goes into a lot of the backstory.
Maybe he's the last of his
why
kind.
Why he's been traumatized and.
It's the last of his kind, and all these other people, they've been eating Grinch for Christmas dinner every year.
They've been eating roast beast, Tom. Get it right. Santa, people are just like, oh, how does he do all this stuff? Why does he leave? You know,
people aren't like that, Tim. Children are like that. I think most people aren't.
Are children not people?
Do you... Like, are you just watching, like, contrarian stuff all day?
Yeah, man. This basement is... The YouTube algorithm and my isolation has really done weird things to my media consumption.
Yeah, you're being radicalized against Santa.
Yeah, no, I'm fighting back, though.
Oh, okay. You're woke when it comes to Santa.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Tom.
What?
I don't want to raise the ire of Tim Allen here.
Yeah, you sent me a story earlier today about Tim Allen. He's got some new series on Disney Plus about Santa Claus.
Yes. The Santa Clauses.
Yeah, and I guess in like a commercial for it or something, he's like, you can't say happy Merry Christmas anymore.
Yeah. Like you can.
Yeah.
Everybody has been.
Keep the culture wars out of the Santa Claus.
Yeah. I mean, who really cares? I don't care what they do on the Santa Claus. Tom, where do you fall on? You're being suspiciously silent about Santa Claus and whether he's a good guy or not.
Hey, he's a good guy. He's giving out, you know, presents, and all he asked for in return is some milk that's been left out all night and some stale cookies.
Yeah, I don't think he's even asking for that. I think we take that upon himself. He's just asking the girls and boys, all the kids, all the children of the world
to be nice,
to try not to be naughty.
Right. And even if you're naughty, he'll give you a... some coal, and considering the heating prices nowadays, that wouldn't be such a bad gift to get.
Hey, you're telling me.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging my son to be naughty.
We're going to use coal to heat our New York City apartment halls.
Yeah, we're freezing over here. Please do some more pranks at school.
We've got a nice little coal corner where we light our coal to warm our apartment every night.
I need you to, what I need you to do is go put a tack on your teacher's chair.
That'll get you a nice big lump.
Yeah. Pull that girl's pigtails.
Yeah. We'll be warm and toasty all night.
Exactly.
With this kind of bad behavior.
To that end, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Disclaimer, if you haven't stopped listening and there's a child in the car, I assume everybody listens in the car. They did this like podcast, survey or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And like the headlines of it was like, extra, extra. People tend to listen to podcasts through headphones more than on a radio with their family.
I think I saw that, and it was like the places people listen to podcasts, sometimes their car, sometimes when they're walking. Sometimes when they're doing other things.
Yeah, what they don't do is sit down with their grandparents and put on a podcast and all sit silently and listen to it. Thanks for the insight.
I've said to you that sometimes I'll listen to an audiobook just like sitting on my couch, and I think you said you think that's like a crazy thing to do.
I do. What do you do with, what do you look at?
I close my eyes. And I
well, don't you fall asleep?
I let my imagination paint a beautiful world with words.
See, if I got nothing else to do, I'm just gonna read a book because, like, otherwise my eyes are gonna get a little bored.
Yeah. After a while, the eyes are like, oh, come on, give us something to look at here.
Yeah, and then inevitably they turn to the pack of erotic playing cards you got me that one time.
You still have those?
Yeah, I still got them, Tom.
Teaching my son how to play poker with them.
Exactly. Thanks. By the way, best Christmas gift I've ever gotten, bud.
The erotic playing cards? Were they that erotic? I think they were more just titillating.
Yeah, naughty.
Naughty, yeah.
Yeah.
If Santa knew about
Tom,
him, you wouldn't...
Santa would not approve.
No.
Okay. So do you think Santa, in kind of the grand scheme of society...
The Grinch scheme.
Do you think... what are you talking about? that wasn't a pun. That made no sense.
He had a scheme. It was to get rid of everybody's Christmas stuff.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good thing for us to be like, hey, this old man is watching you and you'll get rewarded if you're good?
I don't know. I think it's fine because I don't think many like parents threaten that hard with Santa Claus. You know what I mean?
I think some do.
Yeah, I'm sure some. There are some parents that abuse their children. There's always
Tom. You know these bad parents.
There's always going to be bad parents, and a parent using Santa as like a cudgel to get their kid to be good. If Santa wasn't around, they'd come up with something else.
That's true.
If Santa,
the devil.
Yeah, if it wasn't Santa, it'd be the boogeyman. If it wasn't the boogeyman, it'd be the devil.
Right.
So I think it's...
God.
God. I think as long as you aren't... like using it every day to threaten your kids. Cause also, like, I remember in the summer, you know, or whatever, somebody, you know, being bad and maybe my mom being like, oh, if you're not good, you know, Santa won't get you anything. And I thought to myself, that old shit isn't going to remember by the time Christmas runs around.
Yeah.
Meaning Santa also, Claus, like... not my mom.
No, that old shit always remembers, believe me.
Although I guess, you know, in hindsight, it's like, oh yeah, that was who I was talking about.
Yeah.
Who I figured wouldn't remember.
Yeah, I remember somebody at some point, it was third grade,
mm-hmm.
was replacing the old Jingle Bells Batman smells with Jingle Bells Santa smells. And to me, I was like, this is a bridge too far. And also, this was during the Christmas season. This was like
borderline blasphemous.
Really, like, I did feel like, I don't think I should be hearing this.
Yeah. If that jolly old fat guy hears this, we're all going to be screwed this Christmas.
Yeah. So I got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. Good. You were smart too. You told on her.
I think I probably did.
Sent a letter to Santa Claus. Well, Santa, I got one more for the naughty list for you this year.
Yeah, I turned narc, and that's how I got so many presents every year.
This episode of The Complete Guide to Everything is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tim, you ever have something you really need to get off your chest?
Constantly, Tom.
Constantly? You're just walking around, you want to tell people you hate them, or you love them, or you know where the treasure is buried.
Interesting, you went negative first, but yeah, no, there's a lot of things.
Love second, and then the treasure, that's also
the positive. Treasure is the wild card.
It could be good or it could be bad. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start affecting us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. As everybody knows, we're big proponents of therapy on this podcast.
Love it.
We think it's something anyone can benefit from. It's not just people who've been through traumatic experiences or going through a rough patch. Even if you're doing good, maybe you can do better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/completeguide today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/completeguide.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Tim. We took a short break. You went and got yourself that can of Coke you've been lusting after all episode.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
It's delicious and refreshing, and it says it right on the can, Tom.
Well, that can sounds like it speaks for itself. Yeah. But we were talking about whether or not it's bad to tell kids about Santa Claus, or I guess if it's bad to lie about his existence, right?
Right.
And I was reading on Wikipedia, they have a little thing kind of at the bottom about this, and it says, most children do not remain angry or embarrassed about the deception for very long. And this guy, John Condry of Cornell University, he interviewed 500 kids about it. Not a single one was angry at their parents for telling them Santa was real. The most common response to finding out the truth was that they felt older and more mature. They now knew something that younger kids did not.
Yeah, so like it's like, hey, lord this over everybody else.
Yeah. But then there was...
Don't you feel like a big man now, Johnny?
There is another study, though, where this one said some children have reacted strongly, including rejecting the family's religious beliefs on the grounds that if the parents lied about the unprovable existence of Santa Claus, then they might lie about the existence of God as well.
That happened to me, Tom.
Oh, really?
That's how I lost my faith.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I don't know, if a kid thinks that, maybe they're on to something. Maybe they're starting to figure it out that, like, you know, hey, they said Santa exists, and they said God exists.
This is the Yeah, this is the one thing that they're all. Yeah. And like.
There's even less proof of God existing than Santa existing, but trust us on this one.
Yeah, exactly. God doesn't bite out of that cookie every year.
Exactly. God doesn't leave a plate of crumbs for you at night.
Yeah, God's reindeer didn't take a bite out of that carrot.
Yeah, or take a big dump in your living room.
Did Rudolph take a dump in your living room? Was that part of it for you?
No,
guys?
But I think, like, look, if you've got a kid, you know, I don't know how old kids are when they figure this stuff out. But if you've got a kid, you know, maybe a little bit on the older end of things, and mm-hmm. you know, their faith is starting to waver, find a big pile of reindeer shit and leave that.
Yeah.
And then they'll think mm-hmm. like, and be like, and then in the morning be like real mad about it, like be mad at Santa, be like, oh, that fucking asshole. Like, I'm sorry, kids, excuse my language, but I'm just so mad that he didn't take his right. reindeer outside. Be so mad that the children have no choice other than to believe. Get into like a fight with your spouse about it.
Right.
Like, storm out on Christmas Day, like just disappear for a few hours, be like, I'm going to blow off some steam. Come back hammered, reeking of alcohol, be like, nobody cleaned up this reindeer shit yet.
Right.
And then be like, that's
this is
it.
This is a good way to keep the magic alive, the magic of Christmas.
Exactly. Because that kid's going to be like, look, I saw how mad my dad was at Santa Claus. There's no way he doesn't exist.
I mean, it seems like a dad like that, Tom, is probably flying off the handle quite frequently.
Like, look, there's no...
seem like extreme outlier behavior for him.
I saw how mad he was. There's no way Santa Claus doesn't exist, because if he doesn't exist, then I guess my dad is just crazy. And I refuse to believe that.
Yeah. No, that's the most unbelievable thing.
Yeah. I guess you kind of lucked out because you got like your kid was born late into the year, so you're mm-hmm. on Christmas 2 with him, and yeah. you know he still doesn't
remember this one.
Yeah,
yeah,
he probably doesn't even is probably still scared of Santa Claus.
He doesn't. I don't think he's even
seen a Santa Claus.
I don't know that he's like seen like. A picture of Santa Claus.
How often do you show him pictures of things?
Pretty often, Tom.
Yeah, I guess books are kind
of. Yeah, we read him books constantly, and he's got these cards that like have
pictures
of things.
Things.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we want him to be aware of what things are, and you know.
Yeah. Well,
I think I just throw a rattle into a crib and
yeah, kind of. Well, I guess you'll have to at some point make your way down to the baby photograph store and pick up a photograph of Santa to show him.
Tom, it's not that specialized, but like you'll see. Tom,
what do you mean it's not? It has to be specialized, or else he's yeah. You have to get that.
There's not a specific store where you can buy photographs.
Yeah,
of things for babies.
It needs to be like on the cardboard because you know, he probably likes to chew it.
Tom, you and your girlfriend mm-hmm. bought him a big for his birthday. Thank you very mm-hmm. much. You'll get a thank you note soon
from him. From him,
yeah. We'll
I
pretend
wanted.
To sign his name and everything. Yeah, we'll make one of the letters backwards.
Be like, wow, he's pretty.
One of those...
I mean, for 1 year old, pretty good.
You bought him one of those Richard Scarry books, which yeah. on every page is just a bunch of stuff and yeah. then the word there. So, like, you're mocking me
yeah.
for showing him pictures of stuff. You're participating in it, Tom.
Well,
you're part of it.
I was trying to traumatize him. I thought that was a scary book.
Thank you. Thank you for trying to traumatize my son.
Well, you know.
I got that handled. Thank you very much.
Kids need a little bit of fear in them, Tim. How else do you expect him to be a good boy?
I mean, yeah, the whole Santa thing. So, yeah, he doesn't, I don't think, have any sense of Santa, which is a little bit of a bummer because, like, look, do I want him to be one of these kids that's, like, all Santa all the time?
Right, he's 16 years old, like, yeah, oh, he's yeah, coming.
Nah. Yeah, I don't, like, Urkel, there was an episode of Family Matters where Urkel was big into Santa, and they're like, Urkel, but like he was also like part of the TGIF lineup. So yeah. I've been watching a lot of YouTube TGIF. Videos about sitcoms.
Well, but let me ask you this, Tim. If by the end of the episode, was there some kind of proof that maybe Santa is real? And everybody kind of had
it
to
wasn't,
eat their words.
It wasn't 100%. It left everybody going, could it? Could it be?
Is Stephen Urkel right?
Yeah.
I'd like a more Family Matters episodes to end with everybody thinking, is Stephen Urkel right?
I think that happened.
If he's right about this, what else is he right about?
Right.
Maybe.
I mean, he's right about a lot of things. He's very gifted in robotics.
Very gifted. I mean, you know, the scientific world's still trying to catch up with the stuff he was doing in the 90s.
Yeah. And like that machine that coolifies you.
Right. There are a lot of Theranos-esque startups still working on that technology.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was reading about, you know that song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up when you were going on your, when you proposed your plan
mm-hmm.
To traumatize your child by putting reindeer shit in your living room. But yeah, go on.
I was reading, yeah, everybody knows that song. But I was reading the Wikipedia on that. There were some interesting things that I did not know about, including that there was a less successful version of the song released in 1952 by Spike Jones.
Okay.
Not the Spike Jones you're thinking of. This is
no, the Spike Jones who did like wacky music.
Yes. He was an American, according to Wikipedia, an American musician and bandleader specializing in spoof arrangements of popular songs and classical music. Ballads receiving the Jones treatment were punctuated with gunshots, whistles, cowbells, hiccups, burps, and outlandish and comedic vocals.
It surprises me to know that you to learn that you don't know about Spike Jones. He'd be right up your alley, Tom.
I mean, this
like
sounds
a
like
freaking cartoon music.
This is my favorite type of music. Music with gunshots and whistles and hiccups. I didn't know that there were people out there specializing in just that. But he did the this version had vocals by George Rock and the little boy voice used in Spike's hit All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
That's a good one. He's got a little lisp.
But then Jones also recorded a parody for his personal pleasure titled I Saw Mommy Screwing Santa Claus.
What?
Just for his personal pleasure, Tim.
Just for him to listen to on Christmas Eve.
Just
all alone.
Just for him to listen to and beat off alone in his...
Look at those erotic playing cards he got.
Yeah. Like, just try and give me some coal, Santa.
Yeah.
I got the goods on you.
Tom, so do you know the premise of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
He wrote a screenplay about him seeing mommy screwing Santa Claus and arranged to meet Santa Claus in a in the basement of a parking garage to sell it to him. But he didn't know Santa Claus got the FBI involved.
The Spike Jones did this?
Yeah, this all, yeah.
Wow. I wasn't aware of this.
Well, on
part of his
on
career.
Santa Claus,
it's not all gunshots and burps over music.
On Santa Claus's show that night, he talked about it. Anyway, what were you saying?
Do you know the premise behind "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus"?
Yeah, but I'd like to know more about the premise behind "I Saw Mommy Screwing Santa Claus."
Yeah, right. Well, it's essentially the same thing, Tom.
Well, you don't know, but Tim. He only made this for his personal pleasure. All the lyrics could be different.
Tom, the thing is, this is the secret of Santa Claus hiding out right in plain sight. Right,
the gray
kids
man.
Are singing. Kids are singing "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus." They don't realize like the point of that song is like, yeah, it's the kid's dad.
Right.
The mom isn't cheating on the dad. You don't have to worry about some sort of cuckold situation within your family.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have that in the Wikipedia. Boyd's record, was that's the original guy who did the song. It was condemned by the Roman...
He did the boring version of the
song.
Yeah,
without any burps and hiccups.
Screwing.
Boyd's record was condemned by the Roman Catholic Church in Boston when it was released, believing that it described an adulterous encounter. Boyd was photographed meeting with the archdiocese to explain the song. After the meeting, the ban was lifted. What a bunch of morons.
The Roman Catholic Church missing the point of something?
Yeah. And I feel like...
You're saying they're out of touch.
Yeah, if I were them, I wouldn't have lifted the ban, because the ban, lifting the ban just... You know, really hits home that they had they didn't understand what this song was about, and they'd be like, "Oh, yeah. Okay, all right, never mind."
that's very funny that they summoned the writer of the song. I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Also, honestly. Mm-hmm. What's the church getting involved with Santa Claus for? I think this is a broader kind of like the church's war on Santa.
Yeah.
Well, talking about a war on Christmas.
Yeah.
We don't often talk about this aspect of it.
Well, Tim, I mean, I had in my list of potential topics today Jesus Christ, and you weren't interested in doing an episode about him.
It's a long holiday month, Tom. We have a lot more topics to cover.
But yeah, understandably, the church doesn't really like Santa Claus because he takes the attention away.
He's competition. Hey, who are you gonna tithe to?
Yeah,
some you know, stodgy old bishop, or a joyful man with a belly like a bowl full of jelly.
Who do you think the church thinks is their bigger enemy, the devil or Santa Claus?
Ooh,
because Santa Claus, he's kind of like he's playing the long game, you know.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin, Tom. I think they'd argue. They'd argue,
they both
hey,
wear
pull,
red.
You pull down that beard, maybe there's a you know, a smaller pointy black beard under that big white beard.
Right, that could be what it's hiding.
They both have red faces.
Yeah, and those big boots could be hiding goat's hooves.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe those aren't reindeers clomping around on the roof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and reindeer tracks and reindeer shit. It could be the devil's shit.
Yeah.
Piled up in your home.
The devil took a shit in our living room again. I'm going out.
I mean, honestly, look, if the devil's in your life messing around, you know, that's really not that bad. You can clean that up, take care of it. There's a lot worse things the devil could do.
Yeah. Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Can I present my list of the top five Santas
okay.
in popular culture?
Oh, I thought there was just one Santa.
Tom, you'd be forgiven.
Is this going to be like just a sad list of different mall Santas that I don't know?
No. Tom, did you like going to see Santa at the mall? Did you ever do that as a kid?
I did do it as a kid, and I don't remember ever liking it.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it was waiting in a line. And as a kid, you hate waiting in lines. Like, sometimes you're waiting in line because you're at, like, an amusement park, and you're like, I hate this, but at least I get to, like, go...
You get thrills.
Yeah.
Chills.
But at the end of this, you get put on, you know, some weird guy's lap, and maybe you get a candy cane when you're done with it.
Yeah, and the fabric always felt weird that his clothes were made out of.
Yeah. Fake beard's bad, but like a real beard is worse.
Yeah, because it's like, man, this is your life, huh? It's your real life. I did like the mall around Christmas time.
Yes.
And I don't think I would
it.
Nowadays.
No?
Yeah, like with the Christmas music and stuff. You know what? It's just that people at the mall... are not good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that controversial, Tom?
No, I mean, especially around Christmas time, like, you know, everybody's got a short fuse. Everybody's on edge. It's crowded. People are trying to get shit done. You know, they're spending a lot of money that, you know, maybe they don't want to be spending. So they're angry about that.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be, Tom. Magical.
No. Yeah. I don't know if the mall was ever magical, but sure.
Number five.
I forgot
the
you
list
had
of
this
Santas.
List.
Here he is. You know him. You love to hate him. Bad Santa. The bad Santa.
The bad Santa. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And now this is the top five. This isn't just like we're going from the worst Santa you could have to the best Santa you could have.
This is a top five. I think the bad Santa
is still pretty
like,
good.
Much like the Grinch, Tom. He's got a heart of gold. I think he helped out a little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds about
all I
right.
remember from Bad Santa is that at like family Christmas party, my uncle was all pissed off. He's like, why do they, you know, this is in like 2003 or whatever when the movie came out.
Why do they
like,
have to make a bad Santa?
Pretty much. He was complaining about that. But also like they were running a lot of commercials on TV, like during like sporting events. He's like, why, you know, 6-year-olds have to see this?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's not.
I have to take my 6-year old to this R rated movie.
Yeah, he misunderstood. You don't have to see Bad Santa.
Yeah.
But those commercials, I mean, you're essentially powerless against them. You watch that commercial, you essentially have to go see it.
I recently watched over Thanksgiving that movie, The Gray Man.
Uh huh.
Which is why I alluded to
it's
the
about
idea.
Some sort of gray man.
but Billy Bob Thornton's in that.
Yeah.
And, he's a weird looking guy nowadays.
He was a weird looking guy when he was the bad Santa.
Yeah. And like in this movie, I'm just waiting for like somebody to explain why, you know, he's a weird looking guy. But it never got explained in the movie. They just played
just
it like, you know, we should all think this is a normal looking man.
Yeah. Number four, Tom. best Santa Claus is Scott Calvin.
Who's that?
Tom, you ever hear of a film series called The Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of a TV series, but I'm afraid it might be too
Santa.
Woke.
He's a new Santa on the town, but guess what? He's not woke. He's quite the opposite.
Right.
He's got no tolerance for anything other than power tools.
Right.
And going, ar, and souping up a hot rod.
He's so masculine, he killed Santa Claus.
Yeah, with a shovel.
With a shovel, and then he took his identity.
Yeah, cut off his head.
And all of his stuff, and cut off his head, put it on a pike outside where the elves live. Just to give him
a
reminder.
Tom, number three. That delightful, dead-eyed Tom Hanks in the Polar Express.
Does he play Santa in the Polar Express too?
Tom, I got news for you. He plays freaking everything in the Polar Express.
Does he play the
Except
little
for,
boy?
Except for like one guy. He plays the little boy. Indeed,
wow.
He does, Tom. All through the magic of motion capture.
Yeah. I would like to see that movie without the motion. Just, you know, Tom Hanks in like one of those tight suits. With,
you essentially can in special features. On
okay.
I'll get you the Blu-ray for Christmas, Tom.
Damn, that's all I want.
You can watch it with your family.
I'm surprised that's a movie that they haven't gone back and fixed all those eyes.
Yeah, those eyes really ruin it. I mean, it's a terrible movie.
Is it? Well, any of those movies where they're trying to make like a feature-length thing out of like a, you know, short picture book.
Yeah. And they sing a song about hot chocolate. It's like, who wants hot chocolate? Yeah, it's kind of like that. And like Tom Hanks sings it, but he's the only guy in the movie.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really sing because he's Tom Hanks.
Right.
So he just goes like, who wants hot chocolate? Chocolate, hot, hot, hot chocolate. Like, he doesn't even like, there's no like notes to it.
Yeah. Does he, okay. Does he play the train?
He plays the train, yeah.
Wow. He is a versatile actor.
He's really good as the train, Tom.
That's the only believable
I think
character.
That's why it remains beloved, yeah. Number two, the best Santa Clauses. This one's a little bit of an unconventional choice.
No.
Fred Claus.
Who's Fred Claus?
Fred Claus himself, Mr. Vince Vaughn.
Oh. Wasn't he Santa Claus's brother or something?
Yeah, but you gotta assume by the end of the movie he like became Santa Claus, right? Or like Santa Claus's like right hand man or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough time to watch the movie right this second to figure it out. That movie cost $100 million to make.
Yeah, they had to cast Santa Claus in it.
Well, it sounds like by the end of the movie, the spoilers for Fred Claus, the 2005 Vince Vaughn vehicle.
2005, wow.
He disguises himself as Santa at the end, and he gives some kid a dog, and then he goes back to the North Pole. While Willie finally starts a relationship with the tall elf Charlene, Fred and Nick make amends. Santa hires Northcutt. I don't know who that is to work at the North Pole.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, Fred reconciles with Wanda and takes her to Paris.
Ooh.
Wow.
What is this? Fred Claus or a sequel to Forget Paris?
This actually sounds pretty funny. I guess at one point in the movie, there's a Siblings Anonymous meeting that Fred attends. And guess what siblings are there?
Charles Manson's siblings.
No. Did Chuck have any brothers and sisters?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Let that be a lesson, about only children. Yeah, keep an eye on them or else they'll grow up to become Charles Manson.
Yeah.
The brothers at the Siblings Anonymous meeting were Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, I see.
Frank Stallone.
That's a good one.
And Roger Clinton Jr.
Who, Roger Clinton? You don't hear much about him.
No, not since 2005's Fred Claus.
Yeah, it's 2007, Tom. I don't know.
Maybe 2005 was when it got greenlit. It was announced in 2005. I apologize.
Yeah, and then it took up two full years to deliver.
Well,
it
cost $100 million.
Yeah.
Your favorite actor, Kevin Spacey's in it.
He's got
whatever happened to him. Why don't they put him in things anymore?
I mean, they're starting to again.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Ludacris was in this.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Research Fred Claus on your own time. The rest of us already have been doing it for the last 15 years. Number one, Santa Claus in film and TV and pop culture.
And the mall.
In the mall. Santa Claus from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah, he's a good Santa Claus.
He's a good Santa Claus. I like how he walks around. He just kind of like, hovers around, like putters around a little bit.
He's got like a big belly, so he's got to like lean back a lot, if I recall.
Yeah.
He kind of like waddles.
Yeah. And he's there's no edge to him. I don't like it. You know, I know I put him number five on the list, but does every Santa need to be bad these days?
Well, the Santa in Fred Claus was played by Paul Giamatti, so yeah. I'm sure he was like a real grumpy, like, oh boy, oh god, oh look what Fred's done this time.
Yeah, that's why it's all the more satisfying when Fred Claus becomes Santa Claus at the end of that movie.
Again, I don't think that's actually what happens. I think it's just
Yet you admit you haven't seen the film.
He and Santa make up. I want to watch this movie because now I have a lot of questions about, like...
Yeah, you're a big Vince Vaughn guy. Vince Vaughn and Kevin Spacey in the same movie, Tom.
Well,
he must really be.
Vince Vaughn hasn't been... I don't think it's fair to lump him in with Kevin Spacey. Vince Vaughn made, you know, Swingers and Maid and all that stuff, which, you know, yeah, that's pretty cringy, but not Kevin Spacey level of cringe.
Right.
No, okay. What I'm saying, I want to watch this movie because now I have a lot of questions about, like, is Fred Claus immortal like Santa? Do they ask these questions, you know?
Is Santa immortal? Tom? Yeah, I think that's a question for Scott Calvin, right?
Wow. The first letter of the plot here, as a child, Fred Claus grew up in the shadow of his younger brother, Nick. Due to Nick's selflessness and goodwill, he became a saint, which gave him and his family immortality.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty good, perk that your family also gets immortality.
Yeah, you should work. I guess someone else in your family will have to be sainted because the ship sailed on you, pal.
Well, Fred Claus here, he got the good end of the stick because it sounds like he doesn't have any responsibility. He just gets to, you know, dick around, do whatever he wants, and still gets to be immortal.
Yeah. Well, hey.
He spends all of his time robbing banks and getting turned into Swiss cheese with the machine guns. But he's immortal. He just regenerates. You think he's immortal? And do you think that means his skin's bulletproof or he can regenerate?
I think it might just mean that he doesn't technically die. So he might just be in a coma.
A horrible state.
Eternity. Yeah.
You know, just like a pile of flesh that's still, you know, and it there's a little mouth in it going, kill me, please.
And there's a room at the hospital and like the doctors bring people, you know, poor fuck, Santa Claus's brother.
If you like the show, you can find out more at TCGTE. You can find all our social media links there, our Discord, our subreddit. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
And check out patreon.com/complete guide for Books to Podcast, where we are neck deep in Gump.
Somebody watch this Gump off me.
We're reading the book Forrest Gump, and you can get those episodes, all the past episodes, a whole bunch of stuff, patreon.com/complete guide.
Hey, great plugs, Tom.
Hey, Santa, you got anything you want to plug?
I just like to point out that Christmas is coming up this year, December 25th.
Typical Santa, always wanted to plug Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, that's his bread and butter.
Yeah, learn a new tune, Santa. Jeez, enough already. We get it.
Oh, we'll see who's laughing when I'm screwing your mommy.
Well, that's too far, Santa. I mean, that song was only meant for personal enjoyment. It was not meant to get out. It was for personal pleasure.
I think you gotta imagine Spike Jonze sent a copy up
to the North Pole. Yeah. Well, like I said, it was it was an extortion scheme.
Yeah.
All right. Any closing thoughts about Santa Claus, Tim?
No.
Okay. Did you ever
think he's a good guy.
Did you ever write letters to him as a kid?
Yeah, I wrote letters to him. Maybe next week it'd be letters to Santa.
Okay. Then you'll go find
maybe
all
next
those.
Did you ever write letters to Santa?
Yeah, in fact, that's how I found out Santa was fake.
Oh, jeez. All right, maybe we'll save this for next week.
All right. What a beautiful tease.
Mm. Hey, Santa said about your mom, Tom.
I'm sure I told this story like last week on the show. Whatever. I'll tell it again.
All right. Well, hey, boys and girls, don't be naughty.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll get that coal.
And remember, we were just joking, Santa is real.
And he loves you very much.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.